Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to this bonus episode of Sound Opinions. We recently aired an interview with guitarist, singer, and songwriter Nancy Wilson of Heart, but we wanted to share more of that interview since we had such a great time doing it and because I've been a fan since like 1978, and there was some great stuff on the cutting room floor.
Listen as we talk with Nancy about her soundtrack work on the film Almost Famous, whether her kids think it's cool that she's a rock star, and when she'll tour her solo record, and again with Heart.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. Every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island, so we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. You know, I think, Nancy, one of the things that your fans have come to really appreciate the guitar playing was in the soundtracks you did for your husband, Cameron Crowe, at the time was your husband.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember this, but I had a fantastic experience where I was on set when they were doing the final day of sound mixing for Almost Famous. There were all these looks back at 20 years since that movie. And Cameron was stymied. There needed to be the perfect piece of music in that scene where young William Miller, his doppelganger, is running along the airport concourse, and Kate Hudson's in the jet window, and they're looking at each other. I need some. He calls you up, and I'm sitting next to him. You had the boys. The boys were just born. They were infants at that point, and now they're going to be 21, right? And I got to get a sitter. All right, I'll come. Right, and then you came down to the Fox lot and, you sat down and plugged in your bass to a fuzz box, to a Marshall stack. And you said, "Hey, Jim, come sit here." And I sat there and Cameron ran the film and you hit a chord on the bass, as I recall it. And it sustained and sustained and sustained. And, you look at him, is it something like that? He said, "Exactly that." Well, I'll do it again. No, that's perfect. And then you left. And I was like, oh my God, my claim to fame. I sat next to Nancy Wilson while she played the one perfect chord.
The finish off treble.
You know? Yeah. But you added, you know, not only wrote the songs of Stillwater, this band that never existed, that is so perfect, but the interstitial music is so beautiful for those films. And I was just wondering, you know, what the film scoring experience taught you and if we'll get more of that from you.
That's a great story. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you have no memory of it. But, like, to me, I was like, okay, this, you know, like, yeah. I met John Paul Jones once, and I'm, you know, and now I've sat next to Nancy Wilson while she recorded for the movie.
Yeah, I think I'd already written the score cue for that scene, but it just needed to be heavier, and it needed a big, sustained, low bass, you know, to bring the heartbreak to the scene, you know, so, yeah. You know, to fill it up emotionally more. And that was a running, recurring theme throughout the film, which, you know, had the mandolin and mm-hmm. stuff going on. But I think it just needed to have the underlying wallop, emotional wallop was what I figured, well, I better go put the bass on then.
Yeah. It was perfect.
Yeah, that's so cool that you knew. Yeah, I had a really fun doing the score stuff. The score stuff was a big education for me musically because it's so different from writing rock music, you know, songs, where you have to pull lyrics out of your soul, you know, and try to expose something that you feel without allowing your review board in your own head, you know, to stop you.
I've heard you talk about that it was Paul Simon who taught you that you've got to, like, turn off that critic in your head.
Yeah.
And start from something small in order to write.
Yeah, like you want to start somewhere, kind of a moment or like a weather report or something, you know, and then you sort of open it out, and then when you get to your bridge area, you want to kind of summation. Here's what I've learned, or here's what I've been taught by this experience, and then you kind of you know, get back to your catchy chorus. Right.
Get back to the chorus quickly.
When you count up the rainstorm.
So I hear that Hart is thinking about possibly doing some more work. I don't know if this is going to preclude you touring behind your solo record, which we're excited about. But what's the next year look like for you, Nancy?
Well, there's a nice fat offer on the table from Live Nation for Hart to go out in 2022, which sounds really exciting to me. The last one we did was really one of the better tours ever, more successful than almost any other art tour since the mid-80s. And so, I mean, for the next little while, you know, bolstered by the fact that the vaccination thing is starting to roll out better, and, you know, there's more people that can get vaccinated in more age groups getting vaccinated, we have a plan with the solo thing to go to Seattle in June, early June, and do a show with the Seattle Symphony at Ben Arroyo Hall, which
that's cool.
It's a gorgeous performance art center with a big pipe organ in the back. It's built for sound. It's one of those gorgeous places. Hart's played there too. We did a Christmas program there one time. But it would be a show, hopefully, that would not only happen one time. You know, we'd maybe go more than one night there, depending. And I'd go probably out by myself first, do some solo acoustic stuff, and then bring the band out, who all lives in Seattle. Most of them are from the band, you know, the last tour, Hart Tour, who worked on my album. And then at the end of the show, then bring the Seattle Symphony out for with the full band and everybody.
Wow.
And, finish the show like that. It seems like it might be doable by June, and maybe we could do it more than once, or maybe travel it to a couple of other performance art, built for sound type rooms.
Does any of this ever impress the twins, soon to be 21?
They are 21. They turned 21.
Oh, they are already 21. Okay. Does any of this impress them, or is it just like, yeah, Ma, I don't want to hear it.
When they were little, they didn't quite understand what it was I exactly was trying to do out there. Like, why are all these people yelling at my mom and she's up on this? Like, I hope they're not trying to hurt her, you know.
Yeah.
But they really get it now. They're really proud, and you know, they're like, yeah, you know, yeah, Mom, you're a badass, you know.
You are a badass.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And my son, there's Billy and Curtis. Billy's an illustrator, really a good illustrator, and Curtis is quite a good guitar player at this time. And incidentally, he had a little poem that he'd written for school, where I really liked it because it was whimsical, and it's called The In-Between, and it turned into one of the songs on this album.
Oh, okay. So the song The In-Between on You and Me is based on that.
Yeah, a lot of his lyrics are in it from a poem. Now look. Which I suddenly found to be very appropriate in the light of the red and the blue and the wrong and the right and all of the argumentative, you know, nature of the atmosphere of the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And I thought that's pretty meaningful right now. So, and put it in a whimsical context like that, it sort of takes some of the barbs out of it.
See, you miss having with an advanced stream, Nancy, or back when we used to get you know, advanced cassettes. We'd get like notes like that. Mm-hmm. But that's great. I'm eager to go back and listen to that song again.
I know it's people kind of really gravitate towards it because it's fun, and there's a lot of kind of heavy-handed, you know, poetic stuff too in the album. So yeah, so it's very. Versatile. The album's versatile.
That's it for this bonus episode of Sound Opinions. If you've got thoughts on this episode, start a conversation in our Facebook group or leave a voice message on our website. To support the show, join our Patreon community or buy some merch at soundopinions.org. Thanks for listening.